So here we are. Hi, everyone. My name is Alvar Hernandez from the Troll and Not Troll team and one of the speakers here at NCSL 2019. I'm here today with a dynamic set of student leaders ready to talk about what are their key takeaways from our conference. So I'm going to pass it off right now to our students. So they're going to introduce themselves. They're going to share a key takeaway, and then we're going to move on with our podcast today.
Hi, I'm William Clift, and I'm from Ursinus College. I'm the student body treasurer. I think one of the things I've been really thinking about, like back at home and once I brought here, thinking about how you build your team, how you delegate your tasks, and how you outreach to people to help you with different processes that you go through in student leadership. So something like I've been talking with a lot of folks about is how you identify those individuals who you know are star players, how you get them to come out, and how you get those people to work with you and to outreach to others.
Good afternoon. My name is Christian Dowdell. I am from New Jersey City University. I am the student organization officer. One key takeaway that I've taken from this conference is the power of networking. I'm a big advocate when it comes to networking, getting involved, and meeting new people, because it doesn't matter if somebody lives in Michigan or is not in the same state as you. You never know who you're going to meet and how they may help you in the future. In one of the sessions we talked about today, one person was saying how they're nervous about networking and how do you deal with it in terms of the fact of is reaching out too much, scared that they may not get back. And some advice that we gave the person is, it's the question that you're scared they may not get back, or it's the fear that you're afraid that they may not respond, and the fear is they're afraid that you won't respond. And so from that key takeaway, I realized that networking is nothing that you have to be afraid of. You just have to go and put yourself out there and keep responding. And if you're afraid that you're going to annoy the person, trust me, you're not going to annoy the person, because they gave you your contact for a reason. So just always get in touch, even if you don't hear back from them, and they'll see that you're determined to really reach out and keep reaching out, because sometimes people get busy and they're going to be impressed by how much you're interested to be a part of the conversation with them. And then at some point, they're going to be able to reach out and you'll do something great together.
Hi, my name is Joshua Woods. I am a TRIO student as well as a TRIO ambassador. One thing that I took out of this conference that I'm at right now is that it teaches younger students how to focus and engage in college activities, whether it be building career or networking or just trying to build a plan to get through college. And being an older college student myself, it really showed me how I would want to interact with the younger students, which is very important being a TRIO ambassador, because I am involved with a lot of younger TRIO students and also a lot of younger students that come to me for mentorship.
Hello, this is Alexander from College of DuPage at Chicago, and I am a student council officer. One of the key takeaways I take from NCSL was having the ability to communicate, having the ability to voice out what you focus on, and having the ability to like be able to have this friendly vibe that you get from other people, as well as not making it to being like out there. Some people are introverts, some people are extroverts. It doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter like where you're from. The key thing is your voice. Your voice is what really matters to all of us. And when you reach out to your voice to someone who's that's alone, that's like not, that doesn't feel that they're needed, you have that voice to make them empowered, to feel, make them they belong to someone, to make them belong, that they're in a group. And in doing this whole event, it made me feel that I am part of a group, even though we're all from a different like country, different like state. We all are connected to what we have now is the voice and communicate to being able here to be here in NCSL.
Hi, my name is Elizabeth Ortiz, aka Liz. I am the vice president of the Student Government Association. And my key takeaway is actually identity. by actually accepting who you are and knowing where you're from and then wearing your skin proud with pride and not being scared to actually shine, because like you never know, by basically like if there could be like anybody like this going through the same thing that you are, and then everybody's like right now going through networking. Some people may be shy and some people maybe have the courage, and then if we learn from each other and then we embrace each other, we actually could do like something big here.
Hi, my name is Tabitha Cruz from Naugatuck Valley Community College in Connecticut. I'm the student government president there, and I'm currently studying music. My key takeaway from this conference has been teamwork and getting everybody involved. And that's something I've learned within the conference and outside the conference by spending time with a lot of my peers and my classmates. You know, we've been learning how to work together as a group. And, you know, within a lot of the workshops, we're learning how to get everybody involved and not just those who are around you, but those who are uncomfortable, and getting people who've never been involved in student government and getting them to work and get on committees and delegating tasks to them. So that's been my biggest takeaway.
So we went all around, right? And we've had this conversation about getting other people involved and developing action plans and being proud about being student leaders. And so we are almost officially at the midway point of the conference, right? And so we've talked a little bit today so far about what are some of the things that you have already taken away. But I want to ask you now, and we want to go around again and talk about what is one goal that you want to like accomplish before leaving NCSL? Like, what is something that you really are saying to yourself, like, I really want to get this out of NCSL, or I really want to make sure I accomplish this particular task before leaving this conference, so in that way when I go to my home institution I can do something about it. So I'm really interested in hearing kind of like what are some of those goals for you all as student leaders before going back to your home institutions.
So I think for me, my biggest goal is probably actually to establish and reevaluate my goals. And to set goals to continue reevaluating those goals and kind of put myself in check every once in a while to make sure I'm on the path that I want to be on. As a student leader, you have to take feedback and you have to readjust when things change. And it's imperative that when you're working towards something, that you define your values very clearly in order to reach that goal, and then define what success is also. That's something that's been reiterated by so many of the speakers here, and I think it's just so important to really have a measurable way to define when you're making steps toward that success level.
Hello, this is Christian again from New Jersey City University. One of my biggest goals that I want to get out of the conference is finding a foundation, especially for my clubs and organizations at my college. So I used to be a club president. And I was a club president my sophomore and junior year. And being involved in that position, it taught me a lot. It taught me how to delegate. It taught me different leadership styles of different people. And then once this new position opened up at my school for student government, I knew it was the perfect thing for me to do, to be able to oversee and advise all of the current clubs and organizations on campus. And so one of the biggest things that I want to focus on is creating a foundation for them. So we have a new clubs and a new organizations packet that we give them, the procedures. But I realized for the current clubs and organizations, there wasn't necessarily an active clubs packet. So that's something I recently created. So I already started the process of that goal. And to continue it is just how to make sure that it's a consistent level of understanding, so there's no confusion and it's just straightforward understanding of what to do as a continuing club. And through a lot of the speakers here already, I've seen so much that has given me many ideas. Like, for example, one of the presenters from this morning, I had them in a workshop yesterday, and they were talking about how to make your presentations more fun, how to make them more engaging, how to make them more interesting. And that just gave me so many different ideas of how I could bring that back to the clubs and organizations on campus. Because one of the issues that we deal with is we're a large commuter school, so we don't have a big population of just a lot of student leaders or a lot of people. But I think that's unique because we're very diverse, and even though it's a small population, it's still many different types of people, many different types of cultures. So it's just finding that right foundation in terms of how to make them excited and how to make them the legacy that they want to achieve within their clubs and orgs, and just teaching them how to get there, what the steps they need to take. And I'm already halfway through that goal, and then we're going to get to the rest of it by the end of the conference, which I'm sure I'm going to get.
Hello, this is Joshua Woods. With the being a work study at the University of Missouri, one thing that I'm trying to focus on is how to incorporate younger college students as well as older college students into my mentorship. And a way to do that is by helping them move forward with planning and making goals, and then inspiring them so that they can try to incorporate their own resources into implementing how to do their goals, and then enabling them and providing them with the essential resources and extra resources that could help them achieve their goals. And then one thing that I would really like to focus on is how I could not only incorporate younger college students into older college students, but how I would be able to do that myself so that I could reach the younger college students so that they would be able to rely on me more as a mentor, and so that they wouldn't be afraid to come to me and ask me questions or for guidance or for just regular general advice.
Hello again, this is Alexander from Culture DuPage. And one of my takeaways or goals to bring back at my college is having sources around you, which means networking, and be able to like connect with those people who I network with and present them back in Culture DuPage. What I meant by saying networking is because like there are a lot of student leaders here in NCSL, and as well as other like state and countries around like the world right now. We as like human beings, we need to network with each other in order to learn from experience, in order to learn from what they experience, and in order to like learn what we need to learn for ourselves. And as a human being, we need to like level up from yesterday and then your past, as well as like in the future. So leveling up from what you have today means like you're learning, you're viewing yourself as a futurist, viewing yourself as like in the future, looking back like, oh wow, I did this in NCSL, this is what brought me here, this is what made me feel that I need to do something for this young generation right now in 2020. Next year, we need to have a lot of voices to keep that empowerment going as we strive for like the future. And because all these like presenters that we have in NCSL, it made me feel like, oh, I can like take what they say and bring it back to my college so that I can inspire people in my college to do the same thing as I am a student council officer.
Hi, this is Liz. I actually been living by this quote. It's actually, be fearless in the pursuit of what sets your soul on fire. By that being said, I would love to encourage the students not to give up. Like everybody has like life situations that, or even like some grades, some classes that you think they're hard, but as long as you keep pushing and keep trying the hardest that you can, you're gonna succeed. Because if you give up, but it's gonna just create a pattern, and by actually going after what you want and what really really sets your soul on fire, you're gonna get far in life. It's gonna be just miles and miles, and you're just gonna basically be unstoppable. So I would like to bring back to the campus on how to be the biggest cheerleaders for all of the students. Like if they seem sad, just be like, why are you sad? Are you okay? Like what's going on? Like let's talk about it. Or just like sending them to the right resources, like just helping them, like just becoming like a a force to be reckoned with, like a small community, because like we're also a commuter college. We basically know almost everybody, and we see the night people, the day people, but they know that they could come up to us and then just talk if that's all they need.
Hi, it's Tabitha. The biggest thing I want to bring back to my campus is structural change in terms of how we run our meetings mm-hmm. and how we run as a team. A lot of the time we're afraid for change, we're afraid to do something different, but doing something different can actually help how we pass information off to our students. It's important to be advocates for ourselves and for our students, and we can't do that if they're not getting the information in the best way possible. A lot of the times at our SGA meetings, we're presenting really boring information, and you know, the students don't care and they're not paying attention. And I shouldn't say they don't care, but it's sometimes harder to pay attention. So I really wanna bring back how, you know, as SGA members and leaders, can we present information to students and get it across that they're really interested? And how can we present this really, really important information in a way that isn't so boring? Mm.
Talk to them.
Yeah.
And so thank you all so much for your voices and your stories and all the things that you were able to get from the conference and sharing that with our folks today on the podcast, but all the plans and initiatives that you hope to bring back to your home institutions. And I hope that when you listen to this podcast, right, and others listen to this podcast, that they hold you accountable with the things that you said today. And then you take those things with you because there's going to be times and moments when your light might get dim, right? Your fire might burn out. And it's always an opportunity to reignite that with your advisor or by yourself by listening to this video and making sure that you stay passionate about the goals and the things that you want to pursue on your campus. And so this is Alvar Hernandez with NCSL, and we're closing up our podcast for today. Catch you all next time. One, here we go. All right. Well, hello, everyone. My name is Alvar Hernandez, and we're here at NCSL 2019 in Orlando. I'm speaking today with a group of dynamic student leaders yet again. And today we're going to have an authentic conversation about how can we as student leaders promote equity and diversity on our campuses. And so we're going to have our student leaders in the room be able to introduce themselves and share their answers with you all. And then we're going to go from there with our conversation. So here we go.
Hey, how's it going, y'all? I'm Alejandro Guzman, and I'm from Skyline College, which is located in San Bruno, California. And
hello, my name is Rolo. I'm from Skyline College, and yeah, San Bruno, California, too.
Hello, this is Alan from NJCU. That stands for New Jersey City University. I'm a sophomore now.
Hello, this is Marcus Strada from Skyline College as well, San Bruno, California.
This is Carlos Ungo. I'm also from Skyline, and I'm happy to be here.
Awesome, awesome. So our dynamic student leaders introduced themselves. So, you know, the question again is, how can you as a student leader promote equity and diversity on your college campuses? So whoever wants to take a crack at it first, more than welcome to.
So for me, promoting equity and diversity within the campus just means like opening everything you can. So like, for example, NJCU has different clubs and organizations such as, you know, the Haitian Society, Caribbean Society, but what it means is like keeping your organization and club open for everybody. Do not limit it to just that ethnicity or whatever, like keeping it open so that way everyone feels welcomed.
For me, equity is bringing everybody to the table and making sure they also eat, not just inviting them to the table, but also providing them for their meals, making sure that they get their information. For example, in our school, if we have clubs, making sure that they get the support they need in making their event successful.
Everybody has great points, but I think it's important to talk about what equity is. To make it simple, what equity is I'm just bringing an example. So there's two people who are entering a building. One of them is in a wheelchair. The other one is abled. And so there's two people entering the building. And since there's one in the wheelchair and the other one is abled, the one in the wheelchair has to have the adequate resources to enter the building, for example, a ramp, and there that already has to be in place. And so the one who is able obviously is gonna have to go through the stairs. And so then what equity and simplicity means is that there is access to the particular meeting the person where they're at. And for me, I believe that equity is primarily really important in our college campus because it's actually already in our mission statement and we practice it enough. But I think we shouldn't just walk the talk. We should walk the talk. And so it's not just a badge, but it's definitely something that when we're doing Heritage Months, there's every single abled and disabled person being represented, every form of diversity, every color, accurately represented, because we sometimes tend to take over the mic and forget about some people. So I think it's appropriate to actually reach out to them. Don't even be shy to reaching out to people and asking them a question about their cultures, because I think that's actually even more smart, especially when being more equitable and diverse. And another way to actually promote equity and diversity is actually inviting people whom are not already there to the table, because it's important to have different point of views, especially when representing a college campus.
Awesome. Yeah, so like Roel said, bring people to the table. I was at a workshop yesterday for Professor Williams from Trill or Not Trill. And he said, if there's not a table for you, flip over and make another one. So at Skyline College, yeah, we do a lot of Heritage Months. We do celebration days for ethnicities. We had the first like Tonga Day celebration earlier in the month, which is not, I don't believe it's being represented along across the nation or in our state. And just some ways to provide equity, introducing events for it. You know, who are some students at a school who are not being represented well or at all even? You know, you have International Food Days, we have International Weeks. Take a look at your campus, who you might not be talking to. Just the person who is the minority. You know, some of us, society, there's a saying where people of color who are the minorities, but some schools, such as our school, we are actually the majority. Mm-hmm. And you know, celebrate more of the majority this time of age, you know.
I just want to say I love all your guys' definitions. I really liked how everybody had their own spin on it. And I think a great way that we've been exploring it on campus is just being self-aware of our actions, of our words, and of the data that we collect. Understanding, okay, who do we have? Are they on campus? Are they not on campus? How can we bring them? How can we make them feel included? And not just assuming what we can do for them, but asking them, it's like, what can I do for your culture? Mm-hmm. How what would make you feel represented and bring you into our family? Mm. That's what I got.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Is there somebody else that want to chime in? Want to jump in?
So I'm at Baltimore City Community. My name is Benjamin Spence. I'm with Baltimore City Community College. At Baltimore City Community College, we have one of the highest diversity rates. So we have people from Africa, Ghana, all South. We have some from Russia. We have Hispanic. And what we do to try to incorporate all of us is we sometimes visit museums. We try to get as many people involved as we possibly can. When we go to D.C., we go to the Smithsonian's, and we go to the Latin Heritage Room, and we go to the African-American, we go to the American History, we go to everything that we make sure that everyone feels included and respected. a lot of times we throw like parties, like last year we organized the Kwanzaa event, had a lot of fun, had a lot of different races there and a lot of different people that really just enjoyed themselves and had a great time. The Latin Heritage Month, that was a lot of fun there. We actually partnered with Towson on that one, and we had a lot of fun. So just making sure everybody feels included and making sure that everybody's having fun and we all understand each other and we all come together as a community, because that's what's most important.
So there's a saying where, actually it's Alejandro, there's a saying where the smallest things goes a long way. The smallest things include language. In our language, we tend to use like ableist language when we should definitely switch it up. For example, there's sayings like step up, step down. There's like different ways of addressing that, because when addressing people, especially not everybody could stand up, or even like the smallest things to pronouns, even asking people about their pronouns, we understand that we're not used to it, but I think it's primarily important because we can't just assume. And also, especially when using the word minority, there's something I learned in my history class, that we're not a minority, we are minoritized. Mm-hmm. Because of the system, so therefore we shouldn't conform to that because we're not a minority. So that's just a little twist. So
yeah, of course. The
conversation.
Get in here.
Adrian ADO Dot, and one of the presenters here, member of the Trill and Not Trill team. I think it's interesting that, you know, Alejandro, what you brought up around the idea of these titles and these words that we put out there, right? And being a minority versus being minoritized. I think that's a unique concept that, even though it should be pretty obvious, isn't very obvious all the time. So I wanted to kind of pose the question, now that you're at a conference like this, where it is so diverse, this is a very diverse group from economic standpoint, cultural standpoint, what do you think you've been able to contribute to that conversation and shifting the idea of that, that diversity is not an external thing, right? The idea is internal, right? Like, I have to make a choice on how I choose to engage in these spaces. What do you feel like you've done or have been able to experience so far that make you start to challenge some of those ideas or step outside of yourselves? Because again, we're at a leadership conference. So have you taken some steps to lead in that way by your own actions?
It's Benjamin again. When I was in high school, I went to a arts connection school for the arts, and they had a lot of like African programs in like the middle of Baltimore, kind of like the hoodish area. It's not the best, of course, but we definitely appreciated the background they try to like give us. When I first got there, we kind of were like laughing at it and like not really appreciating the beauty of really what it like was. When I was in, because it's a middle to high, so I was like in sixth grade and I was taking martial arts and yada yada yada. But when we had drum, because the martial arts teacher left, so I was like, I'm not modern. So we ended up taking a drum. When I first got in there, it was like, it's definitely not an easy transition when you don't know as much. Like if you're blind and you know you're just not seeing as much as you are going to, you're not gonna really understand it, and you're gonna laugh and you're not gonna really appreciate it. But once you get in it and you start learning new things and you start getting into the rhythm, so we had African drum, and we just all come together and play. It would be dancing, it'd be drumming, and this is like this really great thing. And by like when I was matured, like by the fifth month, I was already one of the leaders, and I was, you know, trying to push people to dive into this, push people to really understand where their roots come from and the traditions that were taught. So to really come to that point is a beautiful thing.
So you would say that you bought a certain type of openness in that setting.
Yes.
Right?
So in this weekend that you're here, do you find yourself bringing that same open energy as you approach the idea of being around all these diverse different leaders and just being like, all right, let's start to connect? Do you feel like you're that still that open?
I certainly do. Not too long ago, I met a young lady. She's Russian, and we just had a great conversation. We just learned about each other and, you know, kind of just diving into what we believe in, what we are trying to accomplish at this conference. And that is, like, a really, like, again, a beautiful thing to really understand where somebody's coming from and to understand where we all want to go, because at the end of the day, we all want happiness and we want to make effective change in this world.
I think also, like, we all talked a lot about student leaders, right, being able to be that type of driving force to promote equity and diversity on college campuses. And so I'm going to take it from a staff perspective. And I think from a staff perspective, like, there has to be a constant challenge, right? There has to be a constant challenge because people are working in these spaces that are predominantly white, right? And in predominantly spaces that are not designed for people of color to excel or to be themselves because of standards of professionalism and other things. And so two things that I want to mention, like, equity is different than diversity. And a lot of people don't understand that. And to clarify that, you know, equity is being able to give two groups of people the same amount of resources, or to try to give two groups of people the same amount of resources. So, for example, if one club and organization has $100 and the other club and organization has $25, I'm not going to give both organizations $100. That's equality. I'm going to give one organization $75 and the other organization $25. So then they're at $100 even, right? And so sometimes administrators don't understand that concept, and then they fall into a trap of I'm prioritizing another group, or I'm favoring another group. And what you're really doing is that you're building an equitable space for people. And so as student leaders, you have to challenge that. And if you see that other groups, right, that are the majority on the campus, or predominantly have better resources, challenge the administrators or the people in the room that decide those things for you to make sure that they're looking at it from an equitable sense. And diversity, like I say, like, I impact the room just because of my presence with diversity. And so, like, I currently work at an institution where I'm the only Latino administrator on my college campus. And so by me walking in certain spaces and being on certain committees and being in certain events, I, in that alone, am providing diversity. But diversity is not enough, right? So it's not enough. And there's not enough to just exist in the space. It's also to do the work in the space. And so, and to be cognizant of that work that you are doing. And so my question to you all, right, because I think we might have time to one more question, is what would you tell a student that did not get the opportunity to be here and join us at the National Conference of Student Leadership? What would you tell them that you got out of this conversation or out of this experience here that they would help them or take something from them so then they could apply that at their own institution?
Okay. Rolo, so what I would tell to the student that wasn't able to take part of this is to evaluate, where am I in this position right now? What am I in my school? Are there resources for everyone? Do I have the resources that everyone else has? Or am I being an outcast? Am I available to walk into the financial aid and get my paperwork done right and get the support to get my full financial aid? Or counseling. Do I get the counseling that I need? Or does some other group get more counseling and I don't get that help? Just be aware of what you have or what you don't have. And if you realize that, hey, I need to do something, go talk to a professor and say, hey, can I do something? Go talk to the upper level administration and just say, hey, I've raised your voice and do something like that. Yeah.
This is Alan. For me, if I were to say anything to someone who wasn't able to come to this conference, I think it would say is, maybe you're too comfortable in the spot you're in. Like, for me, one thing that I've realized throughout this conference is your story matters, and where you've come from shows in who you are as a leader. So your story does matter. So, you know, just continue to grow, continue to build your own story, because a book has many chapters, and this is just part one of it.
Hey, it's Mark. I'll just say this conference has been a heavy, concrete reminder to utilize your resources. If you're not able to come, you know, look, check out the next conference, you know, narrow down your major, who you know, who you need to contact, get in touch with, and just, you know, start planning, maybe even get to planning at your own campus, you know, get your own events going on, you know, start something.
It's Carlos, and I just want to bring up that the toolbox fallacy. This conference is just reminding me of it. The fact that, I'm a car guy. I got a project car, and I keep saying to myself, oh, I need this big old nice tool to complete, you know, that patching or whatever. If it's your photography and you want an expensive camera, you're an artist and you want a big tablet, you don't need that. You can start pen and paper. Do that yourself. For me, how that applied to my college is I always was upset that there wasn't a community whenever I went to my classes, how we just sat there and stayed to ourselves. I didn't need to be in a leadership position to break the ice and go to my neighbor and say hello, to get to know them and make them feel special as a person. And it's not always going to work, but I can for sure say that in my math class, I know that I got people in my, you know, that got my back, that my teacher understands my place. And just because I said who I was, I didn't need to be the president. I didn't need to be the administrator to make some sort of change in my life. So you can too.
Awesome. And with that being said, we have run out of time today with our podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you so much for the student leaders in the room and your voices and your perspectives and your enthusiasm. Really appreciate all of your experiences, and I hope that you have too. This is Alvar Hernandez from Trill on Our Trill, and we are out.